All these kids coming around here on a Wednesday night, you realize they could have been at home playing PlayStation, but many of them chose to ride the bus. My bus was completely full. Brother Scott, what about you? How many you have tonight? 13? Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to have to switch going. I'm above that. Yes, sir. Amen. So we'll switch and I'll take the other one. Here it is. Billy Sunday. If you are strangers to prayer, you are strangers to power. And I appreciate you folks coming out on Sunday, even at 6 o'clock, praying with us at the pastor's prayer hour. And then on Wednesday night, what a time it is to join our hearts together in prayer. Over here on the front pew, we have some new postcards. Now, you remember what we did? You take one, you have somebody that's unchurched. Unchurched, listen, they're going over to Eastern Avenue. We don't send them over there. If they're going over to Bible Baptist, we don't send one to unchurched friends. You put their name on there and you pray, Lord, please use this card to touch their heart and let them know that we are a church that cares about them. And so you write it on there and you put a stamp. You don't even have to lick stamps no more. Ain't that a blessing? You just stick them on there. And they stay self-adhesive. And then if you got a phone, what some of them have been doing, they took a picture of that name and they look on their phone. They pray for that person every week, every day of the week. And say, Lord, please use this here card to touch their hearts. And we've changed out our tracks to our fall. They're on every place that we have tracks. You know, we had the summer, experience life. Now we got this one. Make this fall a time for family. Be our guest at Lock Haven Baptist Church. Got the address on there and stuff in the front. And got the gospel on the back. There's some tracks up here. And then in every place where we keep them, be sure to get them. And you know, we normally go out first and third Thursdays, second and fourth Saturdays as a church. And we go visiting. Well, tomorrow I've got a Pastor Appreciation Meal tomorrow, given by Osceola Memory Gardens, and I'll be over there. So we're going to move it to next Thursday. Next Thursday will be visitation. I know that's not the normal Thursday. We're not changing it. That's just an exception for this week. Next Thursday, did I say the 17th? Tomorrow's 17th. What's the next Thursday? 24th. Next Thursday, 24th. So use these tools. You go get you some gas and pay for gas. Look, as much money as we pay for gas anymore, it should be a blessing to give them at least the gospel. You know, give them an invitation there and use these. And I'll have some more for the Sunday school classes this Sunday with the addressed already. And I'll ask the Sunday school teachers, present that name to your Sunday school class. Say, Lord, please touch this person's heart. If you're a stranger to prayer, you're a stranger to power. And when you pray for others, I'm going to tell you, God's really impressed. He really is impressed. You remember the centurion in the Bible? The centurion was there asking help for his servant. And this is what Jesus said about the centurion. I marveled at him because he is concerned with others. If we're not a church for others, dear friend, we might as well lock it up, hang it up, get us a fishing pole and a bow and arrow and go hunt gators. We got to be about others because Jesus was all about others. He left heaven's glory to come to this earth for salvation of mankind if they only put faith and trust in Him. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 in our studies throughout the Bible. You know, we've been in 1 Corinthians going verse by verse, chapter by chapter in this book for some time. And we're in chapter number 9 tonight. Here's some dates. And while you're turning, listen to these dates. 17th of November, 63rd homecoming. Brother Kurt LeBeau will be with us, blind evangelist, be singing Sunday morning, Sunday night, preaching Sunday morning, Sunday night for us. Got a new CD out. I've heard some of it on the radio already. Sounds wonderful. And then 18th of December, final Discovery Club presentation for the youth. 18th of December. 30th 31st and the 1st of January, Teen Winter Retreat in Georgia. We'll be going up to Venture of Faith and going up there trying to do some spiritual stuff on top of winning some trophies while we're there. 8th of January, Restart Discovery Club. 19th of January, Scripture Day. Be in prayer. Lord, what would you have me to give to purchase paper that we may be able to print, because he's already preserved it. It's already settled. Changes not a jot or a tittle. And Lord, help us to be able to print scriptures right here on our church property that we may be able to distribute them things and get them things into the hands of folks who will get saved, discipled, and grow in grace and become reproducers of that faith. I tell you, my heart's desire is to be like the church at Thessalonica. Their faith was sounded abroad. And boy, I tell you, the more we reach out to others and do something for God, God reached down and smiled and just give a little sunshine, adds to our church and adds families that help us and gets us along that we might be able to do more for Him. Can't be satisfied. Can't be satisfied with where we're at. We have to be constantly pressing toward that mark. You know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but they've fallen short of the mark. Once we got saved, we didn't arrive at the mark. We keep pressing on toward that mark. Yeah, it's a tough life. It's a tough life, I'm telling you. Life is difficult. 1 Corinthians, if you would, chapter number 9. And the only way we can do that to have confidence in whom we believed. There's a lot of folks doing a lot of things nowadays. I'm amazed. I mean, people are concerned that people on the other side of the world have wells. They take up money to dig wells and to get water drawn up out of the ground. I mean, they're excited about it too. But they can have all the water in the world and still die and go to a devil's hell. You remember the rich man in Luke 16? He thirsted for one drop of water. Now, water's good. Praise God for it. I'm glad for water. It's a good thing to have. But I'm telling you, we need Jesus, and the folks in this world need Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. I'll get out of the way real quick here. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time tiddling and daddling around. I've already used a lot of time. Glad to have visitors in our house tonight. Thank you for coming. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's read verses 1, 2, 3, and then we'll get started. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Verse 3. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this. In chapters 8, 9, and 10, Paul begins to teach us about Christian liberty. In this very chapter, which we have started, he begins to deal with a certain aspect of liberty, which is financial support and financial care for those that labor in the gospel and for the gospel and through for the work of the Lord. And so here in verse number 3, he says, mine answer to them that do examine me is this. I'm going to ask you this, church. If the Apostle Paul, which was a man that was so full of the power of God that he said, I carry about the marks of Christ Jesus in my body. If he was such a man after he got saved, remember what he was before he got saved. Boy, he persecuted with zeal the church, Lord Jesus, didn't he? He had letters going up to Damascus to put people in jail, and he had held the coats of those that stoned Stephen. When Stephen was there preaching, and the Bible says there, Stephen touched them so much with the gospel and the word of God and his preaching that they bit on him and gnashed at him. And then Paul stood there and held the coats while they... Listen, that was before. But don't forget what we were before we got saved. I mean, we were some messed up folks. Hey, some of us, and I'd say probably all of us, if we're not careful, on any given day can be messed up also after we're saved. We're not perfect, but we're striving to get there, aren't we? That's growing in grace. They examined Paul. Hey, mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Let me ask you, what's your answer to those that examine you? They're going to look at you. They're going to look at your life. They're going to see what you are. You know, the biggest fault and problem with most pastors is this, include myself, we have a very difficult time living up to what we preach. Because sometimes we preach things that we're not willing to touch, but expect our people to touch them. I'm preaching a preacher tonight. Jesus Christ began to both do and teach. Hey, before, listen, while people are examining us and looking at us and watching over us, you know what they need to see? A reflection of Christ. Paul said, my answer to them is this. Very confident, wasn't he? What was it? Go back up to verse number 1. Paul had an identity. Paul had an identity there in verse number 1. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? Paul said, my answer to them is my identity. I identify with Christ. You remember who he met on Damascus Road? That bright light stood, knocked him down. He couldn't see. Listen, he met the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw Jesus and he identified with him. And not only did he identify with him when he got on into town, he submitted to believer's baptism and he began to serve through what? Where did we find him in Acts 13? You remember when we went through the book of Acts, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Where was the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 13? He was in the church serving the Lord. What was his identity? He identified with Christ. You remember in Luke, we're going through the book of Luke. Just two Sundays ago, we was going through the book of Luke. And Jesus said this to them, if you do not profess me before men, neither will I profess you before the angels in heaven. Paul said, listen, I was a persecutor of the Lord Jesus Christ, but now that I'm saved, I'm bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am on the winning side. I'm more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Hey, He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He is always with me because I have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Paul had confidence. He identified with Christ. How did he do that? He allowed himself to be yielded, as it teaches in Romans chapter 6, an instrument of righteousness. And what happened? Look here in verse number 1. Are not ye my work in the Lord? There was evidence. He identified with him and he said, here's the evidence. What happened? He's out there serving the Lord. He was walking up and down the streets of the countryside and being sent out by the church there in Acts 13 and planting churches, starting churches. And he said there in Corinth, he said, look, I came here, I identified with Christ, and you are my work in the Lord. I'm going to tell you, church, we have to get to the point where we realize it's not about us. It's about the fruit that we produce. Go to John. Hold your place real quick. We're going to flip over to John. I believe it's John 15, if I'm not mistaken. John 15. Verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. It's that fruit. Paul said, looking, they're examining me, looking at my life, want to know if I'm an apostle. Here is the proof. You are my work in the Lord. So I say unto you, church, we need to be able to look back in our Christian life and look back and say, hey, I helped appoint this one. I watered and planted, and I gave this one the gospel, and this one I encouraged, and this one came along, and God brought the increase. This one got saved, and this is my work in the Lord. You know, the work isn't over. There's a threefold thing in the Great Commission. You got to get them saved. You present them with the gospel. You present them with the believer's baptism. They get baptized. Then we teach them. We disciple them. Paul said, look, you are my work in the Lord. If you're a boss man, you got a company, you got a... I'll give you this example. There was a guy. His name was Rock. And I'm telling you, he had the best name too. It matched his head. But he actually did work right here on Boggy Creek Road, right down the road here in some houses. He was a carpenter. That's what he said. He moved to Louisiana. Mr. Bronfa hired him. And he told Mr. Bronfa, he said, I can do anything there is to be done in carpentry. Anything there is, I can do it. Mr. Bronfa said, okay, I'll hire you at $16 an hour. You got 6 months to show me you're worth $16 an hour. If you're not worth $16 an hour, we're going to reduce you to what you are. And if you're worth more, then we will increase you. Well, it came to the point that 6 month time frame rolled around and old Rock didn't prove out to be right. Mr. Bronfa said, you're going to have to take a pay cut, $12 an hour. And that's what it's going to be if you want to still work around. He said, okay, I'll still work around here. I'll still work around here. But he got mad. What happened? Mr. Bronfa hired him. What's your qualifications? I don't have nobody here to show you that I've worked for them, but I can do this. Here's 16. Show me your work. You know what we need to do? We need to be able to show people who we serve, who's bought us, who saved us. Say, this is my life. Look at the evidence. Paul said, look, you're my work. You're my work. He identified with Christ. He had evidence of that to be so. In verse number 2, he said, if I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. Hey, listen, you're not going to be able to convince everybody. But our church family ought to know. Hey, that's a man of God. That is a woman of God. That's somebody that loves the Lord. Hey, down the road, they might not be able to realize. They might not know it. But hey, whenever they bring accusation, when they're examining somebody in our church, and they say, hey, Sister Debbie, I don't think she's quite what she says to be. I'm saying, hold up, buddy. Anytime I've ever asked her, she stood up and taught Sunday school at the spur of the moment. Anytime I ever asked her, she was at work day. I know. Why? How do I know? Because I'm around her. Well, that's what it says right there. Verse 2, if I be not an apostle unto others, hey, listen, if nobody in Orlando believes I'm a pastor, I want my people to know I'm a pastor, that I'm a shepherd, that I love my flock, that I serve my flock, that we work together as a flock, as laborers in the Lord. It doesn't matter what any other church thinks. That's what Paul's saying right there. He identified with Christ. He had evidence of that, and that gave him liberty. Isn't it amazing the liberty we have in Christ Jesus? I don't know about you. Brother John, it's good for me to be able to lay my head down at night and know that I've done right by God today. I'm going to tell you what. It may not do this for you, but it does it for me. Like right now, this drives me bananas, and I'm not bragging on myself. Little bitty speck paper right here on this orange carpet. If I'm walking across the church property and I see a piece of trash or bag or something, these folks drive up and down our road and just throw their stuff out there. Hey, if I pull into the parking lot and I see that and I go on and get, listen, before I get back there out of my truck, it's bothering me. I'm going back to get it. Why? This is the Lord's property. It's not my property. This is the Lord's property. And I want the Lord to be excited about what's going on down here and be excited that we care about His stuff. Because I'm here to tell you, He sure cares about His stuff, don't He? How do we know that? He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You're always saved. Once you trust Christ, you're always His child. You don't have to worry about it. Well, I was talking to a fellow the other day, and he's talking about eternal security. And I said, look, son, it was a young guy, so I've been saying that a lot now. Son, does that mean something? He was about 19 years old. He wasn't my son, by the way. Just, I guess it's one of them things. I said, look, son, the angels would go on strike in heaven if I lost my salvation every time I messed up. You know what they'd say to the Lord? Say, Lord, look, I know that we're building this house and you're making and preparing this mansion for him and this is his, but he loses his salvation, so we got to tear it down. Just scenario. I know it don't work that way. I said, the angels go on strike. They'd unionize in heaven. Say, Lord, we're refusing to do anything, put any furniture in his mansion because he messes up too much. He loses salvation. But you know what the Lord says? He's mine and always will be mine. Keep on working. Hey, he takes care of his stuff. So if he takes care of his stuff, we need to be careful to take care of his stuff. What's his stuff? His people. He died and gave himself for his church, his people. Hey, he said, I'm calling out a name unto myself. So if he's going to care for his stuff, we ought to be faithful to care for his stuff. That's what the scripture says. It's required in a steward. What's a steward? A person that cares for somebody else's stuff. It's required of a steward that a man be found what? Faithful. Faithful. Paul identified. He gave them evidence. Said, look, examine all you want. Here's the evidence. And then he had liberty. Where'd the liberty come from? Being sure of Christ Jesus. I tell you, I don't know about folks that are not sure whether or not they're saved. They're miserable. They're up and down. They're emotional. Listen, it's all on the principles of Scripture. All on the principles of Scripture. Let's stand to our feet.